Okay, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Making the Move, getting us all from Config Manager 2007 to 2012. Quick show of hands, we're all Config Manager 2007 administrators, we've got it installed, it's all good. Who does not? Yep, cool. So looking for what 2012 is going to bring. I'm not going to go into a lot of architectural depth in this presentation, except in how it relates to migration. There's going to be an architectural overview of Config Manager 2012 tomorrow at this time. Not sure what the session code is, but definitely check that out. Also, shameless cross-plug, I'm going to be doing a session on user device affinity in Config Manager 2012 tomorrow at 1:45 in Central A at Sec 309. I will claim that that is one of the knockdown reasons that you would really want to move to Config Manager 2012. Big claim, I know, but I reckon I can back it up. So, for those of you who don't know me, my name's James. Is my contact details. I am an MVP in the Windows IT Pro space, and I work for DillageNet, who are an integrator in the System Center space. I don't have that information up there because I've only just signed up with them. I haven't actually started yet. So it's all pretty new. Now, what we want to run through is let's look at the migration feature, which is built into Config Manager 2012. Okay, it's very important to realize that Microsoft have put in quite a staggering amount of work into making this a very thorough and a very seamless procedure for you. We're very well aware that for businesses, customers who have Config Manager 2007 already installed, that it's a major investment, that it has to work properly, and in the migration to 2012, they can't afford to have anything break. So you'll be pleased to know that that is the underlying philosophy behind this functionality. Let's look at some of the caveats and considerations. You won't be able to bring everything across. It will look different. It's not necessarily a bad thing. There are so many architectural changes that there are some significant improvements, in fact, major improvements, but it means that some of the stuff that you've become accustomed to in 2007 will get left behind. And finally, what can you do right now to prepare to move to 2012? Fortunately, there's quite a lot. Now, we do actually have a reasonable amount of content to go through, but it's 3:30 in the afternoon, so I'm not going to kill you with death by PowerPoint, so we'll break it up every once in a while, and I have chocolate. I did this in New Zealand as well, and people loved it. So I expect the same level of enthusiasm to get your hands on that chocolatey goodness. Now, it's important to realize with the migration to Config Manager 2012 that it is a migration. There is no in-place upgrade available. Okay, it is side-by-side migration. The reason for this, historically, it comes from the upgrade path or migration path from SMS 2003 to Config Manager 2007, where there was an in-place upgrade option available. And even though the side-by-side migration path was difficult, it had to be manually scripted, Microsoft didn't really support it, the majority of TAP customers actually still chose to go down that path for the simple reason it gave them control. They could cherry pick what they wanted to bring over, and it greatly minimized the risk of things going wrong. So Microsoft said, fine, we'll learn from that. So in the move from 2007 to 2012, it is side-by-side migration, giving you full control over the entire process end-to-end. All right. So when Microsoft put this functionality together, their goals, if you like, to assist you was to assist you get your objects across, so packages, OSDs, sort of stuff. Bring your clients across in the most painless way possible. Minimize your WAN impact, because obviously we've got packages, a lot of content distributed, especially if you're in a large Config Manager environment, so we don't want to kill your WAN in the process. Assist with the flattening of the hierarchy. This is a major one because part of the architectural change in 2012 is that you should end up with a flatter structure than you previously did in 2007 for a number of reasons. And finally, to allow you to reuse the servers that you've already got deployed. All right. So before we do too many slides, let's jump straight into what this stuff looks like. Here we go. All right, so this is the Config Manager 2012 admin UI. And as you can see, we're in the administration tab. And we've actually got a dedicated section just to migration. Okay, so everything to do with your migration and what occurs happens here. You get a summary. What sites are you actually talking to? What jobs are running? What have you brought across? How many clients have come across? The way that the process works is, so at the moment, I'm actually logged on to the 2012 CAS, the central administration site. And what I'm going to do is open up a new connection to the main top-level server in my 2007 site. Now, I'm running in a relatively small lab, so I only have one primary site. So what we do, I'm going to specify a source hierarchy. Type in the FQDN of the server I want to connect to, and give it some credentials. And away we go. Now, at this point, it's talking out to the Config Manager 2007 site, and it's building up a repository, if you like, of all the things that are installed and available on that 2007 site. At this point, it's not touching anything. It's not making any changes. This particular process is read-only, and it's only one way. The Config Manager 2012 site makes absolutely no changes. It doesn't write to your 2007 site at all. Now, once this runs through, it automatically runs after that every 4 hours. Okay, so what occurs is that over time, the 2012 site, it should be a little bit faster than that actually. What occurs is that over time, the 2012 site, there we go. And there it knows all about it. Now, over time, the 2012 site uses that particular source connection to constantly jump back into the 2007 site and says, hey, what's changed? Okay, because the reality is that when you're migrating from 2007 to 2012, you're going to have both infrastructures up and operational for a period of time. Now, at this point, your workstations haven't come across at all. But over time, because you're still using your 2007 architecture, your 2012 CAS is going to know all those changes, allow you to migrate what's already there and even migrate stuff that you've already previously brought across. So I can jump into this connection through to the source hierarchy. And if I want to, I can change that the data gathering interval, anything from every hour to once a day. Also, if I know I've gone through and made a number of changes, and this is something I've done throughout this lab, is to actually kick off a manual data gathering process. If I had more primary sites in my 2007 site, I would do exactly the same process again, except I'd connect those back up to the individual primary sites, but back up to the 2012 CAS. Okay, and what we'll see over on this side is source parent code. So the 2012 CAS will actually jump in, query the primary site, and work out whether or not it's a child primary site. Now, this is important for a number of reasons, obviously, but for the biggest one is that there are no child primary sites in Config Manager 2012. Every primary site is a primary site in its own right. So the CAS will handle where all that information lies and put it to where it's the most appropriate. So, the migration process, how do we actually get there? Obviously, first, plan. Plan how you're actually going to get there. Look at your current 2007 environment. Deploy 2012. Obviously, it's a side-by-side path. So 2012 must be up and operational. It must work. and finally migrate. Now, one of the great things with a migration process is that if for whatever reason it doesn't work, you don't like the way things have turned out, because it's a non-destructive process, you can simply kill it, erase all the objects that you brought over, and just start it again with pretty much no impact. As part of my lab, that's exactly what I've done. So I've had to do migration after migration after migration, but still using exactly the same 2007 site and 2012 site. There is no impact, it just works. So in the planning, obviously assess your current environment. What can you do now to prepare? But also, where are your sites? What servers are they running on? What bandwidth have they got? How much space is available? Are you ready to upgrade? Are they physical or are they virtual? Now is the time to look at all of that. Create a proof of concept. Make sure that it works. You must be on 2007 SP2. Now, the vast majority of people already are, but some people are still on either SP1 or even RTM. You will not be able to migrate to Config Manager 2012 if you are not at 2007 SP2 level. If you have the R2 or the R3 add-ons installed, that's actually neither here nor there. Okay, that doesn't impact migration in any way, but you must be at SP2. And you have to plan for the hardware requirements for Config Manager 2012, which in this case is a minimum of Windows Server 2008 X64, because Config Manager 2012 is a 64-bit application, finally, and SQL Server 2008 X64. Now, for the Beta 2, you have to be at SP1 with cumulative update 10 or higher. If you run SP2 or SQL 2008 R2, it won't work. However, when Config Manager goes RTM, it will support 2008 SP2 and 2008 R2. No word on Denali at this point. Deploying it. Set up your 2012 primary sites. Okay. You must have a software update point installed and working if you want to migrate software updates from 2007. More on that a little later. And finally, set up your server roles. And there's a reason for that, because a lot of server roles, in fact, pretty much all of them, don't migrate. And finally, actually make sure that it works. So pump out some OSDs, bring some workstations in there, actually make sure that it works exactly the way that you expect it to. Otherwise, the migration process is going to be problematic. And finally, migrate. Distribution point sharing is one of those things that is going to save your WAN quite significantly. Imagine you have a branch office, it has a distribution point already there. You want to spool up some 2012 clients. Now, they're obviously going to want to access programs, applications, and so on. There's a distribution point there, but for the short term, they can't access that. You could spool up a new 2012 DP, but you're going to have to push out all that software all over again, hitting your WAN. Alternatively, maybe you have those workstations talking back across the WAN to a CAS. Okay, again, not optimal. So what you can do instead is actually tick distribution point sharing, and when you migrate programs and applications over, your 2012 workstations can actually access those locally from a 2007 distribution point. Now, again, there are a couple of caveats around that, but we'll talk about that. Migrate some objects, bring over some packages, bring over some boundaries, make sure that it all works. If it doesn't, erase it and start again. You haven't impacted anything, and your 2007 site hasn't stopped working as a result. And finally, bring your clients across once you're happy that it all works exactly the way that you expect. And last step, upgrade your distribution points. Once you've gone down this path and you start uninstalling the 2007 architecture, that's the only point where you can't roll back. So you're pretty much committed. Now, planning for migration. But before we get to planning to migration, I think chocolate opportunity. I have Dreamies and Titans, which are apparently fantastic. Hopefully we're not going to get feedback. Question is, what are the server and SQL requirements for Config Manager 2012? Sir?
2008 SP something.
SP something. Can live update 10. All right.
Yeah, it's right. It's right.
Is it right? Yeah, yeah. It could be right. Is that? Yeah. What about at RTM? What's going to be supported as far as SQL Server goes at RTM?
SP2.
Is that it?
No word on Denali, you said.
No word on Denali. What about SQL Server 2008 R2?
Oh, yeah.
You were listening. Okay. Take a pick.
Thank you. I'll just take a look.
No worries. All right. Let's keep moving. So when you're actually planning to migrate, what are the things that you're going to want to bring across? Okay. Obviously, you want to bring your workstations across. How are you going to do that? Which ones are you going to bring? Is it time to actually kill some of them? Could be. Deployment objects, there are a lot of objects that you can bring across, in fact, most of them. And we will take a look at those. Inventory and compliance data, what are you going to do with them? Actually, the answer is you're not. They don't come across in a migration. There's a good reason for that, which is something. No. Essentially, when you bring that information across, because you're now running on a completely new agent, the workstations are going to re-inventory themselves in terms of both hardware and software. Now, compliance information, if you bring across the compliance information from 2007, then a lot of your workstations, in fact, all of them, are going to be pretty much instantly out of compliance because the agent has changed. Okay, so when you bring workstations across, there is going to be a bit of a hit, a bit of a lag, as they re-inventory themselves, check for compliance, and report back up the infrastructure. And finally, what are you going to do with your server infrastructure? Have you got enough servers? Is it time to virtualize everywhere? What can be done? What can we bring across? We can bring across collections of users and workstations. Excellent. We can bring across any and all of your advertisements, except they will now become deployments. Advertisements are gone. You can bring across your boundaries. You can bring across any software distribution packages which you may have, and if you're using Config Manager 2007 to deploy at V, you can bring those across as well. They will get changed. We will look at how. And finally, if you've got any software updates, which hopefully most of us do, including SCUP, it integrates with SCUP, you can bring across your deployments, templates, update lists. In terms of OSD, you can bring across your boot images. They will need to be redone because Config Manager 2012 uses a new version of the wake. OS images, drivers, sequences, everything just comes over. Any compliance stuff that you've done in desired configuration management will come across as well. It's no longer called desired configuration management in 2012. It's just compliance, mostly because the D is dropped. It's no longer desired. You can now actually enforce compliance. If you haven't looked at it, it's well worth checking out. Now you can actually do stuff like, if your workstations do not have this particular registry entry, make sure that they do, as opposed to 2007, where it will simply tell you if they do or they don't. And finally, if you've done any asset intelligence customizations or software metering rules, they will come over as well. Now, the big one, sites. What's going to happen to your sites? You may only migrate primary sites. Those are the only type of site role that will come across. Nothing else does. You'll have to manually uninstall and reinstall pretty much everything else. The exception to that are distribution points, which you can upgrade, but there are times when you won't want to do that and where you will do a manual uninstall and reinstall of those as well. We'll take a look at where you would need to do that. With secondary sites, they do change quite a bit. They now use SQL replication to talk back up the tree. But because of the changes made to the way that distribution points work in 2012, you may actually find that you don't need a secondary site. So in many ways, not being able to migrate them is actually a good thing. It's going to force you to assess as to whether you really need one at all, given that DPs now in 2012 can do PXE, multicasting, and support app vSTREAMing streaming natively to that site role. And because this is a migration side by side, you cannot reuse your site codes. So you're going to have to come up with a load of brand new three-letter acronyms for your sites. Distribution point sharing is what we touched on earlier on. It's actually really easy. It's just a checkbox. If we jump back into the system that I've got operational here. So we've got the active source hierarchy. We click. And basically share distribution points. Give it a tick. It's going to run through and gather information again. There's one distribution point available, and it's going to become available to my 2012 workstations. And really, that's it. It's as simple as that. Fire it up, tick it, away you go. There are no considerations for whether you do this or whether you do not. It's purely to benefit you, essentially. So it's not a case of if you enable distribution point sharing, then you won't be able to do XYZ. It doesn't work like that. And which one are we on? Let's try that again. There we go. Now, having just said that if you enable distribution point sharing, you won't be able to do XYZ, I'm now going to take that back completely and say, if you do this, you won't be able to access boot images and app V programs if they exist on that distribution point. But essentially, for the reasons I've already mentioned, if you have a boot image in 2012, it's going to be redone. It's a new version of the wake. And also because app vStreaming is now a feature of the distribution point, whereas it's not in 2007, the architecture of 2012 in the way that it handles app v packages means that it actually upgrades it to the new application model, which you cannot access from a 2007 DP, shared or not. So those are the only two considerations. Same, jump in, tick, away you go. Reports. Your reports do not come across. For the main reason that 2012 already has its own reporting. However, if you've invested time and energy and probably a lot of money into making your own custom reports in 2007, what you can do is in 2007 start using SSRS and then actually use the import and export feature within SSRS to bring them out of 2007 and into 2012. So it's not really something that you do through the 2012 migration process, but there is an option available. It's a little bit beyond the scope of this, but there's a technical article there, so grab that off the slide deck, and that shows you how to set it up. That particular link is for a specific Config Manager 2007 deployment scenario. Software updates management. Obviously, the software updates is a big deal. In many cases, that's actually why we're on CM at all. You will need to have a SUP already installed and configured in 2012. It has to be using exactly the same metadata as the SUP in 2007. Normally, that means syncing it from the same source. Okay. If that's not possible, or if it's not practical for whatever reason, you can simply use the WSUS util to do an export and import of the metadata. Now, again, a little bit beyond the scope, but there's a link on how to do that. Once you've done that, you can then bring across your update list. They become update groups. You can bring across your deployments and so on. Everything just comes across. It's very nice. Packages and templates. Now, Programs are the big one. Obviously, we have huge amounts of programs, and pushing that stuff out through Config Manager is incredibly important. There is a new application model in Config Manager 2012. So we still have applications and programs, but applications are the new applications, and programs are the old ones. So we can think of programs as either one of two things. One, it's either software which has been brought across from 2007 in a migration process, or it is an installer which will not work in the new application model. So say it's an XE-driven installer rather than MSI. When you migrate them, they will come across unchanged, and they will be dumped across into the programs area. Okay. Now, the issue with bringing them across unchanged as is that if you have any hard links to where that software is actually held, that comes across as is and will probably break as a result. So one of the things that you can do to prepare now is to go through it all and update to UNC. Make sure that when that stuff comes across, then the Config Manager 2012 CAS can still access that software. App-v packages are the exception. There's always an exception. Because Config Manager 2012 can actually stream this stuff from a distribution point, it can only do that by making sure that any app-v packages are now actually part of the new application model. Okay, so what they look like, which I can very quickly show you, is a new application with an app-v deployment type. So if we jump into the software library, let's take a look at our applications. So we've got a few in there. Let's take a look at Adobe Reader. And we've got a deployment type, one of which is app-v. Now, if you have any 2007 app-v applications, they will be brought across and instantly turned into an app-v deployment type for a new application. Okay. They won't be automatically deployed. You have to go back in and re-enable a deployment. Now, the caveats for app-v in a 2012 environment is that your workstations must be running the app-v 4.6 SP1 agent, either 32-bit or 64-bit. The app-v packages themselves don't have to be at that level. They can be 4.5, 4.6, it's okay. But the agent must be 4.6 SP1 for the Config Manager agent to be able to talk to it, okay? If you're available to come to my UDA session tomorrow, I'll go into a lot more depth about this. And as we've already mentioned, if you have any app-v packages and you want to enable distribution point sharing, you won't be able to. Okay, desired configuration management. What can we bring across? We can bring across any custom ISOMs or baselines. If you have what's defined as an uninterpreted item, you won't be able to bring that across. Now, the easiest way to explain that is that an interpreted item is one that in the admin UI looks right, and you can access properties and you can work with it and edit it. Okay, that is an interpreted item. You can bring that over. If you've been using any third-party tools to generate some custom stuff, and in the UI, you can't really work with it, it's sort of locked down, you won't be able to use the 2007 to 2012 migration process to bring that across. You'll have to use the third-party tools in order to do that. And when you bring across an item or a baseline, the version is incremented one. So essentially, it's a new version. But you can still keep using the 2007 config packs. You don't need to do anything to them. They don't migrate across, but all you do is simply import them back into 2012, which looks at it, assesses it as a 2007 config pack, and upgrades the schema accordingly. So you can still make use of those. All right, I think we need chocolate. Come down this way this time. Feedback. I cut that in New Zealand. It was very embarrassing. App-v packages. If you want to bring those across, what can you not do in conjunction? Distribution point sharing. And in addition to that, what must the app be agent?
4.6
SP1. Does that have any implications for the packages themselves?
No.
It doesn't. Fantastic. Give the man a chocolate. Hey?
Double the amount of
chocolate. I think you could be right. Sir, enjoy. All right. Now, what I'd like to say is that the entire process has actually been made extremely seamless, very thorough. Okay, Microsoft have done a bang-up job of making this as painless as possible. Yeah, there are a lot of caveats. Yes, there's a lot of things that you've got to work out. Do we need this? Don't we? Etc. But the entire process has been planned from end to end by making sure that everything you need to bring across comes across and that it's painless. Okay. Now, I've worked with a number of upgrade procedures in the past, and look, so far, I've got to say, I've never worked with anything that's quite as seamless as this. So if 2007 is very dear to your hearts and 2012 is something that you're particularly keen about, I can say that you're in for a treat, okay? It will be easy. It will be painless. So let's kick on. When it comes time to upgrade your distribution points, there are a couple of options available to you. You can do it in an automated way, okay, but only if certain prerequisites are met. Now, those prerequisites are that there are no other site server roles on the system which is running the DP. Okay, it will also automatically migrate everything. Now, again, there's this architectural session tomorrow. The guy presenting that is going to go into a lot more depth about how software is actually held on distribution points. It's not the old dollar share, okay? That's actually gone. But as a result, you're going to need some extra disk space, because what it will do is grab everything that exists in the existing share, bring it all into the new file structure, but it doesn't do a move, it does a copy, just in case anything goes wrong. So temporarily, you will need probably up to all the disk space on your DPs in order to cater for that. And you can't upgrade a branch DB, unfortunately. That is a manual uninstall and reinstall. The manual upgrade is simply uninstall it, nice and easy. Install it from 2012 and use the pre-stage content feature, which makes it much, much easier, and it just fleshes it all out. So you don't need to worry about what content is there, should it be there, did it make it across. It just will, okay? Again, the architectural session tomorrow is going to go into a lot more depth about this. Now, bringing our clients across, which is really the end game of a migration. All of your workstations keep their execution history, so you know what they've run. They won't try to rerun anything. Okay, so your deployments and so on, they won't attempt to go back out and reinstall everything. Okay, they keep all of that. You can use any methodology you like. There is no right or wrong way. It's whatever works for you. Now, these are the minimum supported client versions. I'm not going to read them all out, but the most important one to realize is that Windows 2000 is not there. It is gone. Yay, finally, dead. You cannot manage a 2000 server or workstation from Config Manager 2012 under any circumstances. It just won't install. Now, something, however, that every client on that list will need, which didn't make it into that slide, but I'll mention anyway, it has to be running the .NET 4 client profile. Okay, that is a prerequisite of the Config Manager agent. This is a lengthy install. The installation itself can be a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, plus there's upgrades and patches and security fixes on after that. You don't want to have to do that as part of the migration process when you can prepare for it now, okay? So get the .NET 4 client profile out onto your workstations now. Reports. Reports don't come across. However, in order to assist you, there are 5 new reports. You can look at what jobs have been run, what objects failed to migrate. Okay, so not the ones that you said, I don't want them to come across, but the ones that you said I did, but they didn't come across anyway. what objects have a dependency on a 2007 collection, all the objects that have come across as part of a migration job, and if there were any clients who were excluded from an upgrade. Collections, mixed collections. These are not supported. So in Config Manager 2007, you can have a collection which is a mixture of users and workstations. Because of user and workstation equivalence in Config Manager 2012, they actually separate them out. You cannot mix them. This has certain implications. Okay, so when you're going through and you're attempting to migrate a collection, and we'll take a look at this in a sec, there's a button that actually says, show me collections which cannot be migrated. This will actually show you everything that is either mixed or has a link or a query or a limit to another collection which is also mixed. That relationship will prevent a collection from coming across. For the simple reason that Config Manager 2012 understands all the relationships between your collections, and it won't simply leave stuff out because it can't. It doesn't support it. It simply won't allow you to bring it across at all, leaving you to mitigate that particular problem. Now, it may be that there are collections in there that can't be brought across, but that's actually not a problem. You know. So certainly I've got some. We'll take a look at that in a sec. But at least it's giving you that information. Boundaries. When you migrate your boundaries, they will be grouped by site. Okay. They are only enabled for content lookup, not for client placement. That's default. You can change that. The main reason for that is that you don't then get overlap. You don't inadvertently get 2012 workstations being assigned or 2007 workstations being assigned to 2012 sites or anything along those lines. So it takes the safest path and then gives you the option later on if you want to change any of that. And if you've enabled distribution point sharing, then any boundaries associated with those DPs automatically come across and they're grouped accordingly. All right, so let's actually take a look at what a migration looks like. Before I jump into that, I just want to say, are there any questions so far about what we've already covered? Agrees? Yes, sir. That's right. How does it deal with what? Sorry, I missed that. Okay. So the question is, how does given that you have to recreate a deployment for when an app v package comes across, how do you deal with the fact that when app v is set to uninstall when it's no longer advertised? That's actually part of the deployment functionality itself, okay, which is not enabled. So the package comes across, okay. At that point, it's not being deployed, it's not being not deployed, or anything along those lines. And because your 2007 workstations are not talking to the 2012 CAS at that point in time, there's no flow of information between them. So it gives you that ability to then jump in and mitigate, make any changes that you want, and then bring them over. Now, as far as bringing across works, and so the idea is once your 2007 workstation has an updated agent, it's going to be talking back to the 2012 CAS. There's going to be a deployment there. And so as far as the workstation is concerned, nothing's actually changed. Okay, AppV product is still there. It's fine. Hasn't changed. It's not going to reinstall or uninstall. Does that answer it? Yep, cool. Any other questions? We'll move on to a migration. All right, cool. Let's take a look. So jump back into administration. We've got our active source hierarchy ready to go. And we're going to kick off a new migration job. In this case, I'll just call it test, and it's going to be a collection migration. Now, so it's already jumped through. It understands everything as to what is present in the 2007 site, and more importantly, understands all the interrelationships between them. Now, actually, before we do, I just want to jump back into, this is the 2007 site itself. Now, I've rigged up a few test collections. The workstations which are in there are assigned, but they aren't actually real, okay? So they don't have agents installed on them. And what I've done to try to replicate various scenarios, got the admin workstations, IT workstations. These don't have things deployed to them, but they're simply examples of top-level collections with no relationships anywhere else. I've then created a test lab. And the test lab has a couple of sub-collections, subgroup 1 and subgroup 2. And there's another top-level collection here, which is a linked collection through to subgroup 1. One of the things I will say that is very, very nice about 2012, that is a major architectural change, is that link collections and sub-collections no longer exist. If you want to do stuff like this and you want to break it up, administrative folders. It's just the folder. It's great. In addition to that, I've got a few software packages, specifically here, Audacity, Notepad++, 7-Zip. And these are being advertised to various collections. So it's just a cut-down example of collections that have a few intricate relationships and advertisements which flow from collection to collection. Okay. This is mostly to articulate how 2012 understands all of these relationships, but what it looks like when it brings everything across. So let's say I want to jump in here. This is my test lab. And the ones that I'm particularly interested in migrating, I want to bring across the test servers group. Okay, so let's tick that. Now it's automatically gone through and ticked everything else that that collection is linked to. It understands those relationships. We've also got ticked to migrate objects which are associated with any of those collections. There are both packages and advertisements. So if we jump in, click next, it's going to take a look and it says, okay, I understand that there are a couple of advertisements and there's a couple of packages as well. So we'll bring those across as well. Well, next. All right, because we're bringing content across, we have to assign that to our site server, our 2012 site server. If I had multiple ones, so multiple primary sites, they'd be available in the dropdown, and I can allocate them accordingly. Now it's asking for the security scope I would like these allocated to. Now, roles-based administration is a very, very big thing in 2012. Actually lets you limit stuff so that only the people you want access to areas in the administrative UI can do that. Now, the security scope here is just the default one. I could also take the opportunity to make a new one if I wanted to do that. I don't. Default's fine. If I had any collection limiting, it would prompt me at this point and then allow me to mitigate. I don't, so it's cool. And if I had any collections which had queries to site codes, because we can't reuse those codes, it would give me an opportunity here to change those accordingly. So we're done. It gives you a quick potted summary of what it's going to bring across, and I can save that to a file if I need to. I'm going to choose to run the migration job now, or I can schedule it. I'm going to select that I want to migrate objects which I may have already migrated. And there is an option here to enable advertisements, so you could do that straight away, especially if you had shared distribution points. I'm not going to do that at this point in time. Next. And we're done. So it's not started. Give a refresh. This particular job won't take too long, famous last words, start to run. Should take about a minute and we're done. Now, there is a little bug. Yep, okay. There's a little bug, well, there's a number of bugs in 2012. When you bring stuff across in the migration, it doesn't automatically show in the admin UI until you do the classic of shutting it down and firing it up again. So if we jump into assets and compliance, what we have is a new folder and some new collections. Okay, no, that's fine. We have a new folder. Now, remember the one that we brought across was test servers, okay? So it's automatically understood that there is a relationship between these other ones as well. It knows that it's linked to subgroup one. Now, rather than actually create a linked a link collection or migrate them or merge them or in any way, it's brought those two collections across as separate collections, but it's also created another one specifically to manage the relationship between those two existing collections. And if we take a look at membership rules, we've actually got a couple of include rules to make sure that those new collections are direct members. And in this case, we're doing that because there is a deployment against them. So it understands that 7-zip is particularly used. In fact, that was why I linked the test server collection to the subgroup one, because this was the advertisement that I wanted to be made available. Now, as far as the folders goes, the folder names are actually pretty arbitrary, and you're not locked into using those at all. Okay, it's essentially name them like that because that's the top level collection that it sees you're bringing across. No worries. So you're not linked to. So you're not held to that at all. If you want to rename it, rename it. It's no problem. Additionally, you're not held to where these new collections exist. If you want to move them, you move them. Because unlike in 2007, where your workstations exist, in which collections, where they're linked to, really matters. In 2012, it does not. The folders are just there for you to be able to organize things the way you want. If you want to move stuff around, no problem. It's not going to impact anything. Now, we didn't bring everything across. So let's jump back in. And let's kick off a new migration task. Call this one test 2. It's a collection migration. Now, if I expand this part out, what we can see is that those collections have actually changed their tags. Actually says migrated. Okay, so you've actually got a visual reminder of you've already brought this stuff over. Okay, it's, now that's not to say that you can't bring it over again. You can. It's fine. Okay, but this lets you know over time that. Of work that you've already done, okay? Now, this time, I want to bring across these top-level ones and subgroup 2, which I didn't bring across earlier either. Now, there's a few more advertisements made available. Nothing else has changed. Default security scope. Next. Migrate updated objects. Run it now. Let's go. Now, the reason why I want to run through a secondary job is to show what top-level collections look like and where they go when there are no relationships. Okay, so when they just exist as top-level collections, they do look a little bit different. It's completed. Again, shut it down, fire it up. Jump back into assets and compliance, and those two other top-level collections now actually exist in this top level. There's no reason to create a new folder structure. They don't need organizing in any way, at least as far as the migration process is concerned. Okay, again, you're not held to this. You can move around, jump them around, whatever you want to do. I think, yep, that's fine. I actually do want to move them. I want to put them in there. Away we go. They're gone. And there they are in there. Now, subgroup 2 also got dumped in there. As you can see, that did not get a folder of its own. It doesn't need one. Okay, subgroup one did because there were more complex collection relationships that the migration process needed to take into account. And if we jump through to the software library, so we've got our applications and packages, and we've got 7-Zip, Audacity, and Notepad++ existing under packages. Programs for each of them, and the deployments, so everything's come across. Now, there is actually going to be, or there is at the moment, a new tool which is being tested by TAP customers, which is going to assist you in the migration, or the upgrade, if you like, of programs there into the new application model. Now, it's currently in beta 1, so it's not publicly available. When beta 2 comes out, it's going to be available via Microsoft Connect. So if you have applications which already use MSI, for argument's sake, they are already compatible with the new application model, but they won't automatically be put there. They will. You will need to do that manually. Alternatively, use this tool. So essentially, that's just going to integrate with the admin UI. It wasn't brought out in the betas simply because it's such an important component, but it is coming, and you will get help in doing this. All right. Actually, one thing I do want to show, which is quite cool, is let's say I don't like any of the work I've done. It hasn't come across the way I wanted it to. I want to do more work on the 2007 side first. No problem. All I need to do is jump in here and say, right, I want to stop gathering information. It stops, and I'm going to say clean up migration data. Now, that is going to go through and erase any trace of anything I've done. It's not going to erase the objects which have come over, but in terms of the jobs which have been run, what has actually come over, history, everything, it's just going to get wiped. It's like it never existed. So, okay. Yep, gone. And my migration jobs are gone as well, but the assets are still there. Okay, so I can go through, move them around, erase everything and start again. I've done this on this lab probably about a dozen times, and each time it should jump back in, it just works. It's very neat, very robust. All right. So, before we move on, any other questions about what we've seen so far? Yes, sir. With Forefront. Okay, so yeah, sorry. So the question was, how does the migration path go with Forefront endpoint protection? FET 2010 integrates with Config Manager 2007. At this point in time, it does not integrate with Config Manager 2012. So the version of FET that I have available in my 2012 lab is actually FET 2012. Okay, that is not going to migrate. Okay, but it also doesn't need to. It's a new version. Now, FEP 2010 R2, I'm not sure about at this point. I'll chase it up and find out. But essentially, you would actually use the inbuilt tools, inbuilt advertisements within Config Manager 2012 to upgrade the FEP client and bring your workstations back into compliance as a result of that. Okay, but it's not something that you need to bring across. Any other questions? Right. We are coming to the end. So, as we've already seen in the demo, anything that you've done as far as your collections and your sub-collections, you don't lose them even though they're not there. Okay, folder structures are built. New collections are made as a result. All the intelligence is there. All the logic is there. Okay, so when you migrate, everything comes over. You don't lose anything. Advertisements still go to the right spot. You don't need to go back in and check, oh, did that go there and will this work? It will work. And your administrative folders are now used instead. But if you have other relationships, say you have a limit 2 which is actually outside the scope. It still understands that. It will bring across everything that is relevant to that particular collection. Okay, understands all the relationships, everything that needs to come across to make it work in exactly the same manner. Now, there is a new tool. Yay, another tool. The Config Manager P2V Migration Toolkit. Why do we want another tool? Okay. We want another tool because Microsoft needed to give you guys an option to upgrade your Config Manager servers out at sites where you might not have access to P2V solutions, functionality. Why might you need to do this at all? Because Microsoft didn't want you to have to deploy another server at all your branch sites to cater for the side-by-side nature of the migration. Okay, so the scenario is that you've got a 2007 server out at a branch office somewhere, physical. You need to get 2012 out there as well. There are no other servers. The site roles can't exist side-by-side on the same OS. So what we're going to do instead is reutilize the physical hardware where that's possible. Okay, if you've got some old stuff that's not going to support virtualization, then obviously you're going to have to look at some reinvestment. So what it will essentially do is it will create a VHD of physical. It will install 2008 R2 with the Hyper-V role ready to go, and it will fire up a new VM with the VHD. Thus, hopefully, the idea behind it, freeing up some space on the physical box and to give you the option then to spool up a 2012 site server side by side. Now, a lot of people are probably going to be a little bit skeptical about this approach. It is that sort of automated top-down approach which the rest of the migration has sought to avoid. But as I said, it's really about Microsoft realizing that there are going to be cases where you're going to need a bit of help, and this is the tool to do it. That is currently available through Microsoft Connect, so you can download that now, grab all the documentation, take a look at the feedback, and give it a go. Again, this is a bit beyond the scope of what I'm trying to cover here, but it's all about assisting you to maximize the ROI on your existing infrastructure. Okay, Microsoft doesn't want you to have to reinvest in server hardware, unless you want to, of course. It can be a good idea, it's a good opportunity, but you shouldn't be forced to simply because there's a new product coming out. So, home stretch. What can you do right now, right this very instant, to prepare for Config Manager 2012? Make sure you're at 2007 SP2. This is an absolute minimum. If you're not there, you won't be able to migrate. It just won't work. Remember, R2, R3, doesn't matter if it's there or if it's not. No problem. Flatten the site hierarchy where that's possible. So here we're talking how many primary sites, how many child primary sites, how many secondary sites. Do you really need them? Okay, because the new architecture, and again, I really strongly encourage you to go to the architecture session tomorrow, explains there are so many reasons now in 2012 why you don't need as many primary sites as you previously would. Okay, so this process will actually force you to reevaluate your 2007 environment. Do I really need so many primary sites? They're a bugger to manage. Do I need so many secondary sites? Can I replace them with just a distribution point? Maybe I can. Plan for 64-bit because that's where we're going to go. Not everyone's there. It's now the time. Config Manager is 64-bit only. This is something that Microsoft certainly recommends. It's possibly a brave thing to do, but if you have Windows 7 clients out at your branch offices, they can access Config Manager files over WAN and then distribute them locally via peer-to-peer. Now, from Microsoft's perspective, it is they see it as a value add that's quite compelling. If you have a Windows 7 client out there, get branch cache out there because it's going to minimize WAN impact in a big way. In fact, the way they say it is that as soon as you have more than one workstation at a branch office that runs Win 7, branch cache becomes a compelling story immediately. Now, not everyone agrees, but Microsoft certainly pushing that very, very strongly. And finally, consider virtualizing your config manager infrastructure. It runs fine. It runs fine on VMware, Hyper-V. I've run it on Hyper-V a number of times. It works, it scales, the performance is good. Okay, so if you so don't feel that you must run it on physical because of the size of your environments or because of the complexity. Virtual is fine. Avoid mixing your users and your devices in the same collection because you won't be able to bring them across. Now, this is essentially something in 2007 that we can do, and it's always fine, but you're going to need to start breaking them apart now if these are collections that you want to bring across. Change your package sources to UNC, otherwise your programs won't work. Your site codes must be unique, so plan for those now. And finally, move from web reporting to SQL reporting services in 2007 so that you can bring all of your custom reports across. It essentially works exactly the same way between 2007 and 2012. All right. Just before we get into any Q&A, again, I just want to reiterate, Microsoft have thrown in so much work into making this a viable proposition, okay? They're very well aware of how much time and effort and money and blood, sweat, and tears you guys have put into 2007, and they're very, very exceptionally committed to making sure that 2012, that the path to 2012 breaks nothing. It's also important that at every stage, until you actually start uninstalling stuff, there is a rollback. You're not committed. Okay, even if you start uninstalling 2007 agents and installing them into 2012, you can simply reverse it. Okay, you haven't damaged the workstation in any way. It's fine. It's just going to work. Okay, so until you actually start uninstalling, it's all good. All right, so you have that level of comfort and assurance that simply by putting 2012 in and starting to make changes, you haven't committed. So I'll say thank you for your time. And we got any questions about what we've seen today? Sir?
You had one missing off that last slide.
What was that?
.NET 4.
This is true. I had something missing off that last slide, which was .NET 4. Again, to reiterate, the native agent of Config Manager 2012 requires the .NET 4 client profile. This is a lengthy and tricksy install. It's cumbersome. Don't make this part of your migration process. Get that out now. Thank you for reminding me. All right. Jeez. Shameless. Absolutely shameless. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
What would you say is the top three reasons to move from 2007 to 2012?
The top three reasons to move from 2007 to 2012. It'll keep consultants like me in business, which is a good thing. I get to present more at TechEd, which is another good thing. No. All right. I would say if application deployment is a big thing for you, and it is for most people, user device affinity is a pretty killer feature. It doesn't get a lot of coverage because it's built into the very fabric of the product, but it's very compelling. The simplified organizational structure of 2012 means that there is a lot less that can go wrong. A lot of the stuff I see with 2007 is that simply it's been over-architected. It's starting to become too cumbersome under its own weight. 2012 avoids a lot of that. And the last one, I would say the compliance model is very compelling and very robust. You can actually now deploy your workstations into a 2012 environment and make sure that they look and feel exactly the way you want to throughout their entire life cycle. Whereas with 2007, it was still the remediation of any issues was still very much a manual process. It was still up to you to go out and fix those. It would tell you about it, but you had to go and sort it out. Now it's just done. Adding a little bit of a fourth one, there's also some very good client health work that's done under the hood as well to make sure that you don't have a scenario where you have a 2007 workstation that you discover hasn't been reporting back to the site server for 3 weeks and you're wondering why there's no patches on it. Exactly, and Bits is turned off and WMI is broken. 2012 actually jumps out, I think it's actually every day, and checks every client that's out there and it can run through a number of predetermined health checks. And if it says, oh, Bits is turned off, WMI is bad, okay, fine, I'll reinstall that, I'll re-enable that, register entry is cool. So it makes sure that the workstations always talk back. Sorry? No. In Windows XP, the default position was more, it isn't working. It's a lot more robust, obviously, in Win7. Yeah. Any other question? Yes, sir.
With the new architecture, I know that this is an architecture section, but just on the top of my head, I can envisage myself getting rid of our secondary sites. However, our secondary sites currently aren't really set up as best practice. They're secondary sites with DPs on the management point. Well, is that going to cause me drama? Will I be able to migrate them?
Okay, so the question is, if you have secondary sites rigged up with distribution points as well as management points, is that going to be a problem when it comes to migration? Not really, because you can't migrate secondary sites. So they're going to have to be uninstalled no matter what. Okay, so from that perspective, no. What you'll probably find is that because of the architectural improvements in the way distribution points work, you may not actually need that secondary site there at all.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Anything from over here? No. Yes, sir. At the back. Yes. Architecture session. I know it's on about 3:30. It's been the sec track. I'm afraid I don't have the details, but is a config manager 2012 architecture session. Goes into a lot more depth, especially about distribution points and primary sites. So obviously that's going to be of great concern and consideration to everyone. I strongly recommend you go to that. Fortunately, it doesn't clash with my UDA session at 1:45, so you'll be free to come to that as well. So. So the question is why you can't reuse the site codes. Certainly, if your approach is to completely wipe out your 2007 sites and then install 2012, you can certainly reuse your site codes, but then you're not actually doing a migration. Okay. So the main reason is so that you can, because there's going to be an understanding that your 2007 site and your 2012 site are going to be running in the same environment for a certain amount of time. Workstations must know where they belong. So essentially, that's the reason why.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But if you were to sort of do it, uninstall one, reinstall like 2012 with migration that way, it just means you have to project it back down and do that.
Well, again, you're not really migrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So certainly, if you blow away a site, yep, sure, reuse the code. It's fine. All right. Now, if there's no other questions. Just some housekeeping. Winner Touch Mouse. I had a play with these early this morning, filling revals, going to a prize. These are seriously very nice pieces of kit, well worth the winning. Also, don't forget TechQuest, running around barcode tagging people. Apparently, the prizes are pretty good there too. Resources, of course. TechEd Learning. If you don't have a TechNet subscription, by the way, I strongly recommend it. Excellent value for money. And that is it. So thank you guys for your time. I hope that's been of some value to you. Now, please feel free to drop me an email, Twitter me, catch up on my blog. I'll be hanging around until the end of the event. And so, yes, thank you, and enjoy the rest of your TechEd.